can probably tell if you were watching the first case, for this case only, and then we're going to have to go back to the other panel, a couple of our active judges had recusals for this case. So I'm pleased to introduce to you Judge Kopelke, who's sitting to my left, and Judge Marquez to my right. I'm Gilbert Roman. I'm the active judge on this panel and the presiding judge on this case. So I see we have counsel present for Oz Architecture versus Friedman Goldman Meadows. And if for those in the gallery, and for everybody else involved, if you'd please make sure that your cell phones and so forth are turned off, I'd appreciate it. And with that, I think we are ready to go then for argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Joseph King, registration 21917, and I represent Oz Architecture of Denver. One of the two lien claimants that were plaintiffs in the trial court. With the agreement of counsel for V3, who's the other lien claimant in this case, I'm going to support the legal argument that the trial court erred when it determined that the mechanics liens by the claimants are junior to the deeds of trust claimed by the bank and the and MFJ Associates. We would respectfully reserve 5 minutes to rebut the arguments of the appellants, or of the appellees, and Mr. Scott Shea, who's one of the counsel for V3, will present our rebuttal position. And additionally, to the extent the court wants to hear arguments in opposition to the appellee's motion to dismiss this appeal as moot, Mr. Shea will be prepared to respond to those issues as well, as would I. If the court certainly has questions, I can address them. The issue being disputed here is whether a mechanics lien can be avoided by using a corporate-related party transfer. And in this case, Matt and Ed Friedman, who are the principals or individuals behind Friedman Glenwood Meadows, which I'll refer to as FGM, obtained the contractual right to buy the property at issue, Lot 14. Then they used another company that they controlled, TMS, Total Merchant Services, to conduct the due diligence. That company they formed, a Nevada limited liability company, was a single asset LLC, then purchased the property after an assignment was made to them from the individuals. They now claim that FGM was not the legal entity that performed the due diligence, and therefore FGM should not be designated as the owner for purposes of the mechanics lien statute. And it is our position that this argument is both unjust and legally invalid. FGM was not only the legal equivalent of TMS, there also existed an agency relationship between the Friedmans and TMS. Matt Friedman, who was the individual that testified at trial, clearly testified that FGM used TMS to hire Ground Engineering, and that the work done by Ground Engineering was done exclusively for the benefit of FGM. TMS was a contracting party only because it had money. The testimony was that TMS was put in that position because it happened to have a bank account and was able to write the money. All of the money that TMS spent on the ground report and other due diligence work was paid for by TMS. What was recorded as a loan that FGM was eventually responsible for. Finally, in the arguments, in addition to being the owner of the property under the mechanics lien statute, FGM, in a corporate resolution authorizing the purchase of the property, unequivocally resolved that any and all agreements, instruments, and documents previously executed and acts and things previously done to carry out the purpose of the resolutions, and the purpose of the resolutions was to buy the property, are ratified, confirmed, and approved as the act or acts of FGM. So that's the position that we've taken.
Let me back up then for just a second. Are you saying that the relationship for mechanic lien purposes exists because of an agency relationship or something more direct than that?
Both. It was an agency relationship in that TMS was authorized to act on behalf of the Freedoms, because the Freedoms were the parties that were in contract. The contract also allowed them to assign that to what I refer to as a TBD, limited liability company.
And the evidence that they had an understanding of an agency relationship is what?
Well, the evidence is with Mr. Freeman's testimony that he authorized TMS to act on for purposes of due diligence. He stated that the ground engineering work was done specifically for Matt and Ed Freedman for their LLC. They were the only people that were concerned about the condition of the property. Well, their company, TMS, was the only vehicle that had the ability to hire ground engineering to do it at that time. So we have that agency relationship. An agency relationship can develop when...
Excuse me. Who would the agency be between? Would it be between the Freedmans individually or between FGM and TMS?
Well, it would be between Freedman, because at the time FGM had not yet been formed. FGM did not get formed until a number of days directly before the property was actually purchased.
Okay, and then they made TMS their agent to do what?
For purposes of due diligence, to investigate the condition, the subsoil condition of the property before they bought it.
Okay.
And understand that when it comes time for once the due diligence is completed, then they accept the conditions of the property and they waive their contingencies under the contract. Then they move to closing. Directly before closing, they transfer these rights to this Nevada single purpose LLC, which was their right under the contract. So that's the agency relationship. But more directly, Matt Krieger testified at trial that TMS was not appropriately identified. That there was the record shows there was the development services agreement that was between the McClutchy companies and TMS. And that was designed to say, okay, we're going to develop this parcel of land, and then the purpose of it is supposed to build a headquarters for TMS. Mr. Freedman testified that TMS should not have been identified as the owner in that contract because TMS never owned it. That Matt Freedman or Ed Freedman or the LLC should have been the owner.
Which is this an actual agency or is this an implied agency?
Well, it wasn't actual in that we do not have any direct recognition or contract which would confirm it. But what we do have are facts that show that TMS acted for the Freedmans. Freedmans accepted it and were able to control it. And, the case law is, Western Fire Truck versus Emergency One. It certainly says that if there's consent to act on behalf of another, along with the right to direct the other to do so, an agency relationship arises regardless of whether the parties intended it or not. So we have the parties acting in that way. So what happens is that TMS really was the party that was kind of the placeholder that was put there by Matt Freedman and Ed Freedman, and then utilized. Keep in mind that the cases that we relied upon, Sontag and Home Public Market, clearly address the fact that just because FGM was not in title at the time the ground engineer was hired, it does not defeat the fact that FGM can be an owner. And then Home Public Market stands for the proposition that any interest that is owned, whether it's assigned or not, can establish that ownership relationship. So in this case, what we have is that Matt and Ed Freedman had a contractual right that they assigned to FGM. FGM closed on it. FGM takes with it, when it buys that property, all of the lien obligations that exist at that time that were created through the acts of the Freedmans or through FGM. Now, keep in mind the statute is very broad in terms of how it defines who can create a lien, what's lien or worth. 3822.101 says that the worth is generated or comes into being whether at the instance of the owner or any other person acting by the owner's authority or under the owner as agent, contractor, or otherwise. That is exactly what TMS did in this case. In fact, if we look at the contract that was executed for the real estate, there was a due diligence period that was called for, and it allowed the parties to conduct due diligence, and in fact, the parties said that the due diligence had to be completed by an owner's agent, representative, or contractor. That due diligence was done through the McClutchie companies. They can only act in that capacity. Same as TMS. TMS hired this McClutchie company that in turn used ground engineering for the soils investigation. There's no disputing the fact that Matt Friedman says all of this was done for our benefit. Then at the last minute, they create this Nevada LLC, and it's done strictly in an effort to be able to strip away all the liability for work that was done before they came into title. It's both an inequitable and an unjust result to say that you can form this corporation at the last minute to avoid all the mechanics lien obligations. Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Dave Lenyo, registration number 14178. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Garfield and Hecht in Aspen. We represent the borrower and the former owner of the subject property, which is lot 14 of the Glenwood Meadows subdivision, which is Friedman Glenwood Meadows LLC, which has been referenced as FGM, both at the trial level and the brief. FGM, like is common in many commercial real estate transactions, was an LLC that was formed in January of 2008 for the purpose of acquiring and potentially developing a new office building that it intended to lease to Total Merchant Services, which is a different corporate entity that was formed, I think, about 10 years ago in Nevada, which has been an ongoing credit card processing company in the Roaring Fork Valley. The record is absolutely clear that Total Merchant Services never had a legal or an equitable owner interest in Lot 14.
What was the relationship as it involved due diligence in this case? I think your counterpart said whether they're an agent or a contractor, it doesn't matter under the statute. They were doing work at the behest of Friedman FGM. Can you respond to that?
Your Honor, if it doesn't mind, I'm arguing on behalf of FGM and Alpine Bank, and we're obligated to represent the bank in connection. Mr. Hanlon's going to be addressing the agency issue on behalf of the deed holder. I will reflect that TMS did enter into a development service agreement with the McClutchie companies, but this was not part of any scheme, and there was no corporate piercing argument. The reason why TMS entered into that agreement, and it's reflected in the testimony of Mr. McClutchie, was the McClutchie companies wanted TMS as the existing company to be the company responsible for the development services agreement. So those contracts were clearly in the record between Total Merchant Services and McClutchie, and were not contracts with FGM either directly or through any type of agency principle. As the trial court recognized, FGM was not even in existence during the time period when those contracts were entered into, so there could not, as a matter of law, be either a direct agency or an implicit agency.
Let me step back for a second. Thank you for that answer. So are you going to be dividing your time up then?
I'm going to take about half the time. What I would like to address is what was originally referenced as a mootness argument, but in my opinion is now a remedy argument, which is, as reflected in our motion to dismiss, subsequent to the trial, after a final determination and a full trial, that Alpine Bank was the prior lien holder, and that Mr. Hanlon had a second deed of trust, a foreclosure sale occurred, and under the Colorado foreclosure title statute, we believe this court does not have the authority to unwind the foreclosure sale unless it can be demonstrated that there was some type of impropriety with that foreclosure sale or some type of fraud in that type of thing. No such evidence exists. And the appellants certainly had the opportunity, as reflected in Colorado law.
Could you stay behind the microphone, because we're recording these proceedings?
Sorry, Your Honor, I should know better. They could have sought a stay or an injunction, which would have protected the rights of all parties, because interest has continued to accrue. Guarantors are on the line, and we just believe, as a remedy, the court cannot unwind the foreclosure sale, which could have devastating impacts on lenders in similar situations moving forward. The other issues I would like to address is distinguishing the Sumtog and the home market cases relied on by the appellants. In both of those cases, the judgment debtors had originally equitable interest in the properties at issue that then ripened into legal interests. In one case, there was an option to lease, and then after the work was performed pursuant to a contract with the option holder, the option ripened into a legal interest. Under that circumstance, the relation back theory does recognize the option holder as being an owner for the purposes of the statute. Similarly, if you have an option to purchase and you exercise that option and then you had entered into a contract, you're deemed to be the owner because it ripened into an actual legal interest. In this case, easily distinguishable because Total Merchant Services never had an option to either lease or purchase the property, and in fact it certainly never ripened into any actual leasehold interest or legal interest. So we think those cases are easily distinguishable. The second aspect of the court's factual findings was the work done as far as the preliminary interview was marketing work and was not lienable work. The court should, unless there's clearly erroneous, uphold the trial court's finding and recognize that that preliminary interview work is not lienable work under the statute. And so if the court has any questions on the issues I've addressed, I'll turn it over to Mr. Hanlon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Carl Hanlon, bar number 27320 with the firm of Carp New Hanlon in Glenwood Springs, representing MJF Associates, who was at the time of trial the second lien holder on the property. I'm also going to be addressing the agency arguments which were raised on behalf of all of the appellees. I would have to respectfully disagree with Mr. King's description of what is at bar today. What he just described to you is a piercing the corporate veil argument, which the trial court specifically found was not pled, made no factual findings on, made no legal findings on, and in fact, on several occasions it was objected to, and that path was started down in the record by the appellants. The trial court cut them off. So what we really have to do today, when we're talking about agency, as one of you correctly pointed out, this is not a question of express agency. They're trying to make an implied agency argument, and I think when we analyze that, we need to take a step back and take a look at corporate form as it came through the trial court, which is that we have separate and distinct entities that are operating within this case. And those separate and distinct entities are Total Merchant Services, or TMS, Friedman Gledwin Beddoes, or FGM, Matt Friedman as an individual, and Ed Friedman as an individual on the appellee's side. The case of Leonard v. McMorris, a 2003 case, kind of sums it up in Colorado, Colorado Supreme Court case, that say that a corporation is always a separate entity distinct from its officers, directors, or investors. I think that's important as we start to go down the analysis of the agency argument, and what do we have to really look at to find an implied agency? I'm actually going to refer to the appellant's brief because they do a great job of laying out all the various case law in Colorado. And what it really comes down to in the Dworkin case, Villa Pondo, Western Fire, is that you have to have two things to have agency. You have to have consent and you have to have control. You have to have consent by the agent to act on behalf of whoever they're the agent for, and you have to have control by the individual who is saying, you're my agent, I control your actions. Those are really the two factors, when you boil it all down, that we have to find. So, keeping in mind that we have separate and distinct corporate entities, let's take a look at the facts that the appellants are trying to rely on to make this into an agency relationship.
Before you do that, let me ask you what I asked your colleague. What was the relationship then during the due diligence period that was focused on as between these corporate entities?
As between the corporate entities. Obviously, FGM did not exist. It was formed on January 18th, 2008, after the due diligence period was over. So the relationship between the various entities that existed at the time are two individuals, Matt Friedman, Ed Friedman, Total Merchant Services. In their individual capacity, Matt Friedman signed the purchase contract. It included could be assigned to Ed Friedman or assigns. PMS at the time was a corporation. It's been in existence for some time. It is a very large, very robust, has somewhere in the neighborhood of, I think, 150 to 200 employees, credit card purchasing and processing company. That's its business. When looking towards this building, the new corporate headquarters in Glenwood, they're currently located in Basalt, John McClutchy, JHM, wanted a contractual relationship directly with TMS. I think the trial record reflects that he wanted that relationship because it was a large, robust corporation, and that's who we wanted to do business with. So that was the relationship. He entered into a direct contract with TMS to do underneath what is referred to in the briefing as the DSA, the Development Services Agreement. On that agreement, Matt Friedman, as CFO of TMS, is designated as the individual, the owner's rep, if you will, the individual who you can contact at TMS, who can be that interface with TMS. It was not Matt Friedman individually, it was Matt Friedman in his corporate CFO capacity, which I think is an important distinction. It's hard to keep track of that. But given that we didn't have a piercing argument, it's important to recognize the distinction of role. Similarly, in the Grand Engineering contract, it was directly with TMS. TMS, again, had designated Matt Friedman as CFO as the contact, but both of those were with the corporate entity to undertake that work. There's no evidence, there's no real testimony in it as clear as the opponents would like to make you think it is, that all of that work was undertaken on behalf of Matt or Ed Friedman individually. In the record, it was undertaken on behalf of TMS as the contracting party, and there's no dispute that that's who those contracts were with, that's who paid the bills, and of note, neither one of those are here today.
In the testimony, you're saying that there's nothing in the testimony of the Friedmans that said they were acting as owners when they told TMS to go ahead and engage in due diligence?
I actually can't say that with a certain sense of definitiveness. I don't think there's anything in there that rises to the level of agency that they were doing work on behalf of the Friedmans. TMS undertook that work. Let me run through what I think are the big factual pieces that go into that agency argument on behalf of the appellants. First is that TMS paid bills. The testimony of Matt Friedman was that they had a bank account and that they booked it as a loan. Underneath those contracts, those were direct contracts with TMS, it's not surprising that they were paying the bills. Contact with or direction given to either JHM or TMS to undertake certain activities, specifically to hire Grand Engineering. There again, Matt Friedman was the designated owner interface with owner as defined by those contractual documents as TMS, owner interface with both JHM and Grand Engineering. Grand Engineering's agreement with TMS, one of the facts they allege is that because Matt Friedman signed the contract as CFO of TMS, that must mean that the work was being done on behalf of Matt Friedman. There again, separate and distinct corporate entities. I don't think you can squish those together without something more. And then this idea that the work was done underneath the purchase contract, so it just had to magically be work for the owners because it was done. There's been a couple of different things discussed in the record. TMS's interest in making sure it was a suitable site for a large corporate headquarters. Those are reasonable corporate reasons for wanting to undertake those investigations. Let me go back to those two factors again on how we find agency. Consent. This is a multi-million dollar a year corporation that is suddenly consenting to be the agent of an individual, the CFO of the company. There is nothing in the record that reflects TMS taking any affirmative action to make or accept that designation as being an agent for Mr. Friedman. And I think that's important given that we have maintained the corporate integrity through all of this, and there's been no piercing argument made. The other one is the ability to control the corporation. There is nothing that reflects that Matt Friedman or Ed Friedman individually, not in their corporate capacity, had any authority over Total Merchant Services through any of this. And I think that's important there again. Had it been styled at the trial court, had it been pled, discovery, all of those issues on corporate piercing, we might have a different conversation today. But we don't. We have to accept the pleadings and the facts as they were presented, and that was a choice made by the appellants on how they were going to style this case, and so they're kind of left trying to stuff it into the wrong shaped hole. Thank you.
Four minutes and 51 seconds.
May it please the court, my name is Scott Shea. My attorney registration number is 44064. I represent V3 Companies of Colorado, one of the lien claimants in this case. To briefly address what counsel has now characterized as a remedy issue, it was characterized as this court does not have the ability to unwind the foreclosure sale. Frankly, that's irrelevant whether the court unwinds the foreclosure sale or not. The impact here would be on the person or the entity that actually foreclosed on the property. That's MJF. And there's nothing that doesn't allow the court to simply change the lien priority of the underlying, or reverse the trial court, changing the lien priority, in which case MJF would now just be subject to the senior lien that Oz and V3 are claiming. This is a situation that has occurred before in many of the case law, in much of the case law that's been cited in this case, specifically Sontag. That was a case where Sontag had foreclosed on the property, lien claimants subsequently asserted their lien claims, and the court determined that because those lien claims were first priority over Mr. Sontag's claims, that he took subject to those lien claims. Certainly in this case, MJF, the record will indicate, is a solely owned corporation or a solely owned limited liability company that's owned by Matthew Friedman. Certainly in this case, he had both record notice of the lien claimants. The record also indicates that they were properly filed, and certainly given that he's a party to this appeal, knew the possibility that his priority could be reversed. The other issue I'd like to address is the corporate piercing issue. Now, we talked about the fact that consent and control needs to happen in order for there to be an agency relationship. In this case, the consent and the control are both being given and both being exercised by the same people. That's Matthew Friedman and Edward Friedman. The record indicates that Matt Friedman was the CFO of TMS. It also indicates that Ed Friedman is the sole owner and the chief executive officer of TMS. In that case, certainly they both have the opportunity and the right to control what TMS does and the right to give consent to Matthew and Edward Freeman as individuals who are property owners the right to consent to going into a development services agreement with JHM and do the type of due diligence that's at issue in this case. The council mentioned something to the effect of that without that, there needs to be something more. Well, the something more is this, that TMS is a credit card services company. They don't do land development. Now, certainly as a large corporation, they can entertain the fact that they want to do land development, develop property, but there's no reason for TMS to actually go and develop land without some other property ownership or some other development activity in the offing. This something more is the fact that Matthew and Edward Freeman, the officers, and Ed Freeman, the owner of TMS, purchased the land, got the land under contract, had a legal interest in the land, had through TMS, by their own admission, by Matt Friedman's own admission at the trial court, used TMS in order to hire JHM or John McClutchy companies in order to actually engage ground engineering to do soils investigation, geotechnical investigation, and make recommendations for work that had to be done on the property in order to develop the building they were intending to develop.
Is the argument in the trial court that there should be a piercing of the corporate veil, or was the implied agency argument actually advanced at that point?
The implied agency argument was preserved through the closing arguments of both Mr. King and Mr. Stitch. The trial court was specific that piercing the corporate veil was not permitted as an argument because it wasn't properly pled. However, there's a good policy reason why piercing the corporate veil shouldn't be, or why lien priority shouldn't be dependent upon piercing the corporate veil. Piercing the corporate veil requires some misconduct on the part of the corporation, either commingling of funds, and I won't get into all eight of the elements of that situation. But if you're going to plead piercing the corporate veil, there has to be misconduct. It's entirely possible to enter into a relationship with another company to do your development services activities without actually engaging in any kind of misconduct. If that was the case, then the holdings in Sontag would simply go away, and we'd end up with an absurd result that any lien, anyone who creates lien priority can elude lien liability simply by engaging another company. And I'm out of time. Thank you
all for your fine arguments. The case will stand submitted and an opinion will issue in due course. We do have to switch the panel one more time for those of you that are out there getting ready to argue. So with that, the bailiff will call a recess and we'll reconstitute.